Welcome to the Quarantine Book Club, a comedy and book club podcast where we read some of the best
and worst
speculative fiction out there.
I'm Bob, a career theater technician and educator.
And I'm Rance, an English writing and literature teacher.
We might not know everything about these books,
but we'll damn well try.
And we're happy you can join us this week.
Make sure to visit us at www.thequarantinebookclub.com.
And check us out wherever you listen to great podcasts.
Preempting our normal episode in order to talk about the latest shit that got white people all upset.
Oh my god, if you're a conservative, if you hate those fucking liberals, then this isn't gonna be the episode for you.
Look out, cause we're gonna talk about Dr. Seuss getting canceled.
Oh man, all these snowflakes are coming for Dr. Seuss while I'm coming for Dr. Seuss.
Hey, I'm Bob.
Hey, I'm Rance.
This is the Quarantine Book Club.
So we have to put an interruption in here because I got to put my hand in the air and say I didn't finish this week's assignment.
Oh, cool.
So
cool.
That's
great. Way to go. Way to
thanks.
Pick all the books and then be the guy that fails.
Hey, I didn't see you picking all those books until July, so.
I picked the whole first season, bro.
But that's okay because we decided that because I hadn't finished, for one, we had something else planned. But two, I think it's important for us to stay as relevant as we can with what's happening in literature, or at least in the pop culture atmosphere of what is happening with literature on our Quarantine Book Club.
I just got beer in my new keyboard.
Good job, man. Proud of you. It was a $10 keyboard.
$10 keyboard.
Your $10 five below keyboard.
What happens if I hit space? It'll cancel my recording, won't it?
Yes, it will. It will. I would just let it. It's a membrane keyboard. It'll be fine.
Cheers.
Cheers to you, sir. What are you drinking?
I am drinking Sierra Nevada's Fantastic Haze Imperial IPA. It is basically kind of like the sequel to the normal beer that I drink. The difference is this is a 9% alcohol by volume beer.
You're going to be drunk.
You can taste it. You can actually taste the difference. I'm going to be honest. I don't think I like it.
You can taste the drunk.
Ugh, you can taste the Seuss. But yeah, I think that I like my other beer
like
better.
I just got silent after that. I didn't know really how to respond to that.
It's fine.
So I just let you talk about Seuss being tasted.
What
I'm
are drinking, you
drinking a Coors Banquet. I'm drinking a Coors Banquet. I've been all about the Banquets lately.
Nice. Is it like a thicker bodied beer than a Coors Light?
Yeah, it is. And it also is really easy going down. And I'm not the biggest beer fan. We've talked about that. Maybe not in this podcast. Just as I don't know. I just like beer. I'm really picky about beer, but also I don't know shit about beer. So these two things don't go well together.
Yeah.
So I like things that don't taste like beer. But these, however, are super. They're literally exactly what I expect cheap beer to taste like.
They're like.
So I got
like what you would see Dad drink with his pretzels in the basement.
Yeah, but it's not offensive either. It doesn't have like a sharpness to it. Now, I'm normally like a sours drinker, so I like sharp things. I don't know. I just like the way these taste. I can go through a few of them and have no problem. And also, it takes off the inhibitions before, you know, the nerves of doing a podcast with my bro. Always nerves doing a podcast.
Let me tell you about the nerves doing the podcast when we had this idea to start this episode with like this whole war theme that was going on. And I locked up. I couldn't improv. I just was like, oh, my goodness, I guess things are happening now. And you were just like, I'm going to carry all of this weight.
I didn't do that. Are
your shoulders heavy from carrying the whole team?
No, they're not. But also, I've got training, though, in that.
Like, oh, you have training in improv. That is...
No, I have training in... No, think about it for a minute. What did I do for, like, seven years?
Oh, training in fake war.
I played fake war for
right.
7 years.
You stole Valor and for I was 7 years.
I stole Valor for 7 years. I was so bad at fake war, too.
Well, we should talk about that at some... Like, we should talk about that in that this episode. I think it's actually really relevant. The conversation of, like, one of the reasons that you kind of got to the point where you gave up reenacting.
Yes, where I got done with fake war. So I was a reenactor for about 7 years. There's lots of people who've done reenacting for many, many, many more years. A lot of people call it reenacting. Other people call it living history, which I really like. There is a distinction between the two of them. And I did it for a while with some friends and just sort of hit the upper cusp of being a little too old for the high impact reenacting that we were doing. Mm-hmm. And also sort of got death threats. But we'll get to that soon. So stick around if you want to hear how this annoying guy got death threats. Which,
nice.
Let me tell you, I deserve them. I deserve death threats.
I'm surprised you're not getting more death threats, honestly.
Why not?
I mean,
why would you want me to get more?
No, I didn't say I want you to get more. I said I'm just surprised you're not getting more.
Why not?
Because
I want to fight Larry Correa?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll come back to him too. If people want to have a fist fight and you bring it to them, they're going to back down. So I'm bringing the energy to Larry Correa and all of his pals. Like, let's have a fist fight. Like, open challenge. Ain't got nothing yet. So, like, just bring it. I'm ready. Anyway, we go on that rant about once an episode.
Yeah. No, I mean, I do want to see you fist fight somebody, though. That'd be cool.
Let's do it.
Is that a proper example that we should be setting for people? We're like, hey, don't be racist. Fight. Don't be crappy. Be good to other people. But if you have different beliefs than me, fight me.
Yeah, but those aren't beliefs. Fuck them. Right. Fist fight them. Punch right. a Nazi, you know?
Mm-hmm. No.
Punch a fucking Nazi.
Agreed.
You and I, I mean, and you and I have been, you know, we've been to plenty of German industrial shows where people demonstrated their own... lack of inhibition when it comes to the symbolism they wanted to wear. And we've gotten into our own little share of like eye clawing and things like that over it too. Right. Like the music scene is always rife with garbage ass people.
Yeah. Well, the whole world is rife with garbage ass people.
Bingo.
So what'd you get up to this week, man?
I didn't read the book we were supposed to read.
Yeah,
the Land weeks. Founding Seedling Saga, book one, lit RPG, Extreme, yeah. By Alaron King. Didn't get a chance to read it. I know you did, and I'm really excited to talk about it next week because I know from the very beginning of that book that you and I distinctly saw the beginning very differently. And so I think that's going to be a great tool for us to use to talk about. I did not get a chance to do that. Stick around to next week when we're going to talk about the thing we were supposed to talk about this week. What did I do? We brought my mom to get her COVID shot.
Cool.
Her first COVID vaccine. Mm-hmm. And then as an English professional educator,
Clearly.
No one in the world is listening to this anyway and judging me.
People trust educate their children.
Was embroiled in the whole Dr. Seuss thing this week, trying to really be on top of what was happening because there are layers upon layers, especially in how this impacts the literary world, quote unquote. And I have a real big problem with that phrase and the literary canon in general. If you follow us on Twitter at the QBC podcast, please do because we don't have too many followers and I don't know how to get them. I talked a little bit on there. I retweeted something that you had posted about this and talked about how this isn't actually a cancellation.
No.
Despite what people want to say. And so I think today it deserves a bit of reflection on what's actually happening with the Dr. Seuss thing and why it's become such a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, our job is to talk about books. We don't get paid for it.
And it's funny. So I guess that's not really a job.
I mean, I get paid to talk about books.
Oh, okay. No, I guess I get paid to talk about some book sometimes. Scripts are like books, right?
They are books.
Okay, cool. Then I guess I get paid to talk about books a little bit. On that note, yeah. did you do anything else cool?
No, not really. Let me try to think. Oh, I brought my dog over to your house.
You did. You brought your dog over to my house. My fiance took your dog for a walk while we unloaded a treadmill so I could Hey man, I haven't run in about a month because
What happened this week though? You had an eventful week.
I haven't run in about a little bit over a month because I had an ingrown toenail. And that sounds like little baby wimpy ingrown toenail baby. And you can call me a wimp, you can call me a baby, that's fine. But let me tell you, when they pulled this thing out of my toe that I had to go get surgery on, it was the size of one of my fingernails, like the whole fingernail. Like what was jammed down into the side of my toe that I couldn't see was large enough to cut off by itself and put it on top of another finger as its own nail. I got pictures of it. I was going to keep it, but the doctor was like, yo, that's fucking weird. And I'm like, you're right, doc. That is weird. That is weird. Strangely handsome doctor who I just think is handsome because I can't tell because you're wearing a mask.
Do you think that he judged you for your foot choices?
No, because he told me that I had an exceptionally clean feet despite the infection that I had. From the ingrown toenail, and he had a great bedside manner. He was really nice. We had conversations about feet. We had conversations about tattoos. We had conversations about running.
Do you think he's got a tattoo on his penis?
He does not have tattoos because he had his only tattoo removed because he got it as a youth and decided it was a mistake.
He got it as a youth.
He got it as a youth. Wouldn't tell me what it was.
He got it as a youth.
Wouldn't tell me what it was. So I don't know if like, and I didn't ask. I wasn't like, hey, yo, what was it? Wink, wink.
It might have been the word asshole upside down on his forehead.
No, he said he just thought he was like, it didn't give the right impression as a doctor. He was like, I went into medical school and I decided that like, you know, I needed to clean my act up a little bit.
That's a really like late 90s, 2000s thing to think because now it's the opposite. Now it's like we don't care we really don't and shouldn't. We don't care about tattoos, but that felt like a late 90s, early 2000s thing because I know that like you and I had heard it from our parents.
Yeah.
You know, what are they going to do in the workplace?
And it's like now they don't care. They don't care.
Yeah.
He did say, however, that he was influenced by his father, who had a lot of tattoos. And he told me the quaint story about his father having the name Sharon tattooed on his arm his entire life. And he was like, my mom's name was Irene.
How did he get the name Sharon on his arm?
It was an ex-girlfriend. And he said, I always wanted to ask my mom, but I never asked her how it felt that my dad had another woman's name tattooed.
That's it. You just wake up every day and you get to be like, until you get it removed, I get to punch you in the face. But it's not like a punch where it like you wake up and just immediately expect it. She gets one punch per day at a random time and he doesn't. It can be across the dinner table. But like he's got to not see it coming. He deserves that. Right. Like if you get somebody else's name on your body, it's your choice to get a tattoo. That's cool. But if you don't have a good excuse for having that name on your body.
I mean, it was
then you deserve to get punched.
It was an ex-girlfriend that he was.
But like, then change the meaning. Like, write a book and name a character Sharon and say this is because that character is so close to my heart. There you go.
That sounds like a lot of work for just when you could just get a cover up. Honestly, you could really just get a cover up tattoo.
Yeah.
Like just get.
Yeah, I heard.
get like four little bars? Little black bars?
Yeah, just like to make it look like the black flag symbol.
Yeah, yeah. And then somebody can ask you if you covered up a tattoo.
That's a good idea. So that way, yeah, so you got black flag on you for covering up it, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say, tattoos never die. So tattoos never say die. So you can't worry about it.
Nope. Nope. I don't know where this went. That's fine.
Oh, I do. I'm talking about someone we know. 100%.
Oh, I do know. I know. Is this what we do now? We just talk about a friend of ours and wait to see if they reply. Yes, also, this is episode 2 of Sean Watch.
I've heard absolutely no response in any regard.
Okay, so this is the official time in the podcast where we send a shout out to our friend Sean, who, you know, we love very much. And Sean, I want to know, if you listen to our podcast, if you listen to this episode of the podcast, I will give you $7. You have to come to me, though, and say, I want $7. And it has to be within, like, a week. So let's say the second week of March 2021. If you come to me, Sean, and say, I heard your podcast. I want my $7. I want my change. Yeah.
Then I'll step up the ante next week. I'll come up with the what we're doing next week for week 3.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, tattoo. So you got this thing removed from your foot. I'm really interested in this. I love medical stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So keep telling me about it.
Well,
I'll
the
be
best
over
part
here if you hear me breathing hard.
Well, I texted you and I was like, "Hey guys, I got this thing removed from my foot." And your immediate response was, "Don't you dare, you motherfucker." And then
because
I
didn't
you the
choose
picture.
It in that moment. I have to have control over it. You just sent me. I knew what was about to happen.
It was a nail.
You were about to send me a bloody shard from your foot.
It wasn't that bloody. The cool part, though, was when they have
did
to
you
give
hear
you the,
it crack through
no.
your body when
no,
they pulled
I didn't
it
hear
out?
Anything. No, I did feel it.
Did he have to use his
bit.
Teeth to tug it out?
Mm-hmm. No, he did. He licked my toe sensually.
Did he?
It was pleasant. It was a pleasant experience. He also so when they give you the shots of whatever
when they give you the heroin.
I don't know what it's not Novocaine. I don't know what it's called, but you know the anesthesia, the local anesthetic,
yes.
anesthesia, whatever it is. They first have to spray it with like this intense little spray can that they spray with their. They hold it in their hand. It's about the size of like a bottle of craft paint, like acrylic craft paint, and they spray your toe with it. And it just is really, really cold and immediately makes it numb. And they just stab that needle in.
Yeah, it's the topical anesthetic. It's the same thing they do with your face when you get tooth work done.
It was cool. It was cool. And so I didn't feel it. And watching him just slowly fill up my toe and watching my toe like kind of get bulbous because he's putting this liquid into it. And now my toe has
putting like
little,
putting stuff into it.
Yeah, yeah. It's got several little like bruises from where the needles were. I mean, I'm pretty much fine now, though. My toenail is much smaller. Like, it's narrower. Because he cut it on both
sides. Do you have any kind of, like, bad, like, does it feel poorly? How do you feel?
No, I feel great.
Enough?
I feel great. It was immediate. Like, the remainder of the day, I didn't realize how much pain I was in previous to that. Because even the pain that I was in from post surgery. Don't worry, my fiance is just here dropping off some candle thing. Some candle things that I'm supposed to clean off for her.
Oh,
because I
well, you did
it. Workbench. I did it. I did a good job. Thanks. Bye. Bye. I love you.
I love you too.
This is not awkward
well,
at all.
You know what else? Proud of you for getting your body taken care of. What?
Thanks.
What?
You did another thing.
What did I do?
You're cheating on me this past week.
I was cheating on you?
Yeah.
How is? Oh yes. I my other podcast.
Yeah.
Yes. I was gonna promo that at the end.
Okay. Well, then you can.
that promo. Okay, I'll promo it then, but also promo it now. So I'm doing another podcast with my buddy Dan. It is a once a month thing called Frags Per Second. We're going back and we're talking about all of these 90s first person shooters, and we have a really good time doing it. It's all up on YouTube right now. There will be an audio only version at some point, but right now they're just YouTube videos, and YouTube they're originals. A lot of fun. YouTube originals. We talked about Blood the first time. We talked about Doom this time. We're doing one a month. They're a lot like this podcast, where if you have a really desperate need to know all of the deeply accurate things about these books, don't fucking come to this podcast. And the same thing with that. Like, don't go there for the. It's just two guys talking about games.
Yeah.
That's it. Just like this is two guys talking about books. And I put it out there right now. And I say, if you come here and you're like, why aren't these guys more professional? Fuck that. I don't need that. I'm not here to be professional. I'm professional 8 hours a day.
This is fun.
We're having fun. Cast.
This is a club. We're in a club.
A fun pod.
We're a fun pod club talking about books. Talking about books that you want to read, books you don't want to read, books we want to cancel.
Speaking of canceling, let's jump into some Dr. Seuss. Some Teddy Geisel.
Oh, man. Theodore Geisel Seussical.
Seussical. Dr. Seussical. Dr. Zeuss.
Dr.
Zeuss.
Dr.
Famous?
Racist.
Famous?
Famous noted racist, Dr. Seuss.
Famous children's author and illustrator.
And noted racist.
And noted racist, Dr. Seuss. Yeah, so this week, it blew up all over the world, you know. Well, the world, I say America.
What's that?
For the most part.
An old white man was racist? What a surprise!
Oh my gosh, and of course, we get the two sides of it. We get the left-leaning who are like, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And then you get the right-leaning who are like, oh my god, all of a sudden I'm the biggest Dr. Seuss fan. And yes, I know that right now, people hearing that are immediately identifying that I'm biased and taking a side. Mm-hmm. Because, sure, there are people on the left who are going like, fucking Dr. Seuss. And I think we do have to, like, live somewhere in the real in-between here. Not like a moderate asshole. But, like, we also have to identify that, like, a lot of people don't know that where this actually started came from right in Camp Seuss.
Yeah, his
estate.
His estate was like, yo, these books have some problematic imagery in them, and we'd like to not have that associated with the legacy of this person and these, children's books. And it's 2021. Maybe it's time to be better.
I really like also, that. Is how
I'm going to give you another hot take on it though. Before we start complimenting them, because I'm a skeptic.
Uh-oh.
By nature.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's still all about the bottom line. It's still all about dollars. They're worried about their Dr. Seuss money drying up, and if Dr. Seuss comes off looking like a racist, well, then people aren't going to want to buy Dr. Seuss books anymore, and they're not going to want to show them to their kids. And so, it's clearly a money move.
I want to talk about... But do you think it has to be a money move, though?
I think that's what motivated it. I don't think... I mean, sure, maybe. I don't know, because I don't know these people personally. So maybe they're the greatest people in the world. But honestly, I am of the opinion. I'm not like, fuck everything. But I'm of the opinion to throw it in the trash. I don't care. Fine. Just like right now, honestly, been removed a few months from it. As sad as it is, fucking throw Harry Potter in the trash. I don't care about Harry Potter anymore either. I'm not putting any of my money towards Harry Potter. I haven't watched Harry Potter. I'm not gonna watch Harry Potter anymore. Like, I'm done. Sorry. Like, it sucks. But like with same Dr. Seuss, like, I don't care. Let somebody else who doesn't suck and didn't have sucky opinions on human beings have their time in the light. Also, Dr. Seuss is fucking dead, so who cares?
Jesus Christ. Okay, so clearly Bob has feelings about this. I mean, I do think I agree with you insofar as there is monetary benefit to come from cleansing for lack of a better term, cleansing our literary timeline, right? Mm-hmm. I do think that is a natural part of it all, you know, but I don't think that was the impetus here. But it has happened because Dr. Seuss has exploded in sales since this happened. On March 2nd, the Dr. Seuss Enterprises, which maybe that right there will tell you enough that it's called Dr. Seuss Enterprises, put on their own website. I'm going to read the statement. It says, cool. Today on Dr. Seuss's birthday, Dr. Seuss Enterprises celebrates reading and also our mission of supporting all children and families with messages of hope, inspiration, inclusion, and friendship. We are committed to action. To that end, Dr. Seuss Enterprises, working with a panel of experts, including educators, reviewed our catalog of titles and made the decision last year to cease publication and licensing of the following titles. The titles including And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street, If I Ran the Zoo, McElligot's Pool, On Beyond Zebra, Scrambled Eggs Super, and The Cat's Quizzer. These books portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. Ceasing sales of these books is only part of our commitment and our broader plan to ensure Dr. Seuss Enterprises catalog represents and supports all communities and families. As far as statements go, what would you say to that statement? Like, if you read it unbidden by anything else, you just happened to cross that statement as to who you are now, what would that make you, what would you think in response to that?
I mean, it's a smart, well thought out, clean statement, written by probably 7 different lawyers.
yes, because I'm sure there were lawyers here.
It's so perfect that it can't not be written by, like, you know, an advertising agent with like 3 lawyers in the room. And
just
again,
breathing
that's,
down.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. I guess part of it comes from the fact that I have zero emotional attachment to Dr. Seuss. You know how many Dr. Seuss books I remember having as a kid?
How many?
One. I had one Dr. Seuss book.
Was it Cat in the Hat?
No. It was fucking Mulberry Street.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No shit. Yeah, I don't even remember that. I think I remember seeing Cat in the Hat somewhere.
Yeah. No, our parents didn't shove Dr. Seuss down our throat. They were also, I think, a little less... our reading level was kind of high as kids, so I think they were a little less, like, they babied us a little less with the books that we got.
And yeah, the minute you could read something, Dad would throw some kind of military book in your hand.
That's true as well.
Read the Naked Lunch or whatever the hell it is. That's not a military book.
Dad probably thought that Dr. Seuss was, I don't know, was Dr. Seuss a veteran?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so he probably thought
I could be wrong.
You know,
I didn't do my Dr. Seuss. Research.
I didn't do a lot of Dr. Seuss research either, because all I needed to know was that he put some disturbingly racist images in his books, and not just in his books.
So, So I'm holding right here a copy of a book that I have had since about 2002.
Okay.
Called Dr. Seuss Goes to War. It's the World War II editorial cartoons of Theodore Seuss Geisel, compiled by Richard H. Minier. And it's about 200. Ricky, you done it. You done did one. It's got about 200 of his political comics in it. And from the very beginning of this book, it is clear that Dr. Seuss, in even his political cartoons for World War II, was immediately leaning on racist tendencies. Now, I'm going to pull it all out there right up front and say the first time I looked at this, I was sort of right there, continued in that cloudy space of I have no idea that what I'm looking at is problematic. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I really understood it again until a few years back when I saw this. I was organizing my bookshelf, put it on the shelf. But the way in particular that he visualizes Japan, because he's got the visualization of Hitler and he's got the visualization of Japan. Japan is its own character. And obviously in this, we're not going to talk about the way that character looks. But if you've seen old Superman cartoons, you have every tool that you need to know exactly just how racist this depiction of Japan is.
And that's exactly what I was thinking. And it's sad that in bringing a country together, in a wartime effort that we leaned so heavily into what was the low-hanging fruit and what was also xenophobic behavior in a disgustingly hateful way. You know,
that was that's isolationism at its heart, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what do we want to do to make sure we stay out of this problem? We want to make sure that everybody else seems less than we are.
Yes.
And that is a big problem. When we look back on the quote unquote, and it's quote unquote because it's bullshit, revisionist history, right? And mm-hmm. I'm saying the idea of revisionist history is bullshit. No, it's actually just history being seen through other lenses. It's not revisionist history. So if you're one of the people out there who uses the phrase revisionist history, burn it, because it's not revisionist. We're just learning more shit. Mm-hmm. History doesn't stop. It's not static. And we're now beginning to look back and go, oh, wow, the American presence in World War II was an immensely self-serving endeavor. And
that's
it continued to obviously promote and perpetuate a ton of problematic actions and ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That frankly, people don't grow out of. Mm-hmm. We talk about the greatest generation, and we talk about all of these things which you and I saw it growing up. That indoctrination, because that's what it is a societal indoctrination into a way of thinking, doesn't go away. And there's a point at which it's almost like I feel like it's lost. Like the subject, the person. I'm talking a person as a subject. That person is lost. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. You can't reeducate an older person who was handed racism on a plate from the time they were a child.
And in fact, told basically like told and learned of their own volition, because I don't want to just blame it on like, no. Well, they learned it, right? They continued to perpetuate it.
Yes.
That it's, yeah, it becomes this way of life because it is a tool of privilege for them.
And I worry that like, maybe that's one of our big separations in our generation and the generations after us. And the generations between all of us and the generations before us is that as Gen Xers, we are one of the first generations as a larger whole. And I don't want to say us completely because we're not all great at it. Are learning to take those lessons and look at them and go, this is not who we are. And this is not these are not the messages that we want to present. This is not how we feel, and this is not how we think about other human beings, because that's wrong.
Right. Well, I think that's
not to toot our own freaking horns or anything.
Well, we have to identify that we are in the process ourselves of, and I'm saying ourselves is not just our generation, but you and I.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Of learning better ways to move through the world in a way that is more equitable, inclusive, and representative of hopefully the way we want to see the world be seen.
Yeah.
I will admit, similarly to you, I have absolutely no passionate nor connective history with Dr. Seuss. Mm-hmm. I think I've read maybe two Dr. Seuss books to know that they are illustrated and they rhyme. But I don't really have any memories associated with Dr. Seuss. So I have no dog in this fight.
Yeah.
To use an outdated term. I will say that I think that it is a powerful move and statement by Dr. Seuss Enterprises that they came out with this. Mm-hmm. And that they chose on his birthday to say, you know what? Theodore Geisel had drawn some things that were really hurtful and wrong. And we're going to not continue to publish those things. Mm-hmm. And this is where I think that a lot of people, with this word, this phrase, cancel culture is thrown around and oftentimes is weaponized by right-leaning people as though it's something bad. And I'm going to venture to say that cancel culture is not a bad thing, nor is it actually canceling. Things which deserve to be left in the dust mm-hmm. are derided and destroyed. things which can be fixed are educated and brought forward. And that is, I think, what is actually happening with Dr. Seuss, is that the Enterprises are going, look, we realize there's some books here with some problematic images in them. We're not denying they exist, but we're no longer licensing or publishing them. They're still out there. So we're going to say they're hateful. And we are choosing as the designers, as the developers, as the publishers, and the curators of Theodore Geisel's history and legacy to remove them from the canon. Mm-hmm.
And I think
that's it.
Yeah, and I think that's the right move for whether it's a business move or a move of conscience, it's the right move either way. If you're trying to keep your business going, absolutely. Like, and you admit to it. You don't run away from that, and then what's going to happen happens.
Yep. I look even at, you know, this is not the first time that a business that I know about or like an enterprise that I know about has done this. I think recently the nerd world learned, as Wizards of the Coast with the printing of their magic cards came out and said directly, wow, in the past we have printed some really problematic cards. Mm-hmm. So they're no longer available. Yeah. They're not visible on our website. They're not you can't find them through a search on our website. They're literally no longer part of the game, and we apologize for that.
It's not
perfect, but it certainly is an identification and recognition of that problem.
Well, and look at Magic the Gathering. You can't there's a huge secondary market. I mean, them doing that did one thing, which was unfortunately not, it was the negative byproduct of it, but you were never going to get away from it, which was those cards probably spiked in value on the secondary market.
Oh, 100%. Wizards of the Coast fucking hates. So yeah.
Wizards hates the secondary market anyway. They created a beast which they can't control. And they try to. They constantly try to. And they just, that's actually what I think a lot of the later stuff is. Now we're getting into other real fucking nerd talk here. Like the recent coming Time Spiral release, Time Spiral Remastered. That's a set that I'm pretty sure is like really expensive on the secondary market. And so they went, guess what? We're gonna crash the cost of all these cards on the secondary market by reprinting the whole damn thing.
But you know what? I got feelings on that too, that no other magic nerd is going to agree with me on. Maybe you would. I don't give a fuck about a secondary market.
I don't either. No.
I just make cards easy for me to buy. I'll pay a basic reprinting price for them. There you go. I ain't worried about cracking packs.
No.
I'm going to buy my singles. I'm going to buy my singles, as the professor at Tellarian Community College says. Buy singles. And you know what? But here's the thing. I'm not buying
singles. I'm not buying
hot singles.
I'm going to make a local hot singles shirt, and it's going to be like some like nerd with cards in his hand.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Nope. Here's the thing. No. Here's what you need. We need to reach out to our friends at our local gaming store, Critical Hit Games, Wit and Critical Hit Games. And we need to tell him that this is the shirt that he needs to create for Critical Hit Games. It just needs to say local hot singles with like mana symbols on it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Critical Hit Games. There you go. There you go.
I'll invest. I'll get them printed and then just take like dollars on the dollar for it. Not pennies on the dollar.
There you go.
Dollars on the dollar.
Dollars on the dollar.
But I'll be his main investor. I'll front the capital for these hot shirts that we're going to make.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy stepping it up here.
Oh, you know what? Because I know I learned about smart business decisions from Seuss Enterprises.
There you go. They told you what to do. Well, this is the flow of things.
Yeah.
This is what happens with books that can no longer stand the test of time.
And it happens and shouldn't happen.
And it happens in droves. It happens all the time. The difference here is that all of a sudden it's Dr. Seuss Enterprises that's come forward and said, you know what, we're doing this, guys. But let's look at any other series of books that has been removed from the market because of problematic depictions, or books that it has been brought to the attention that these are. A lot of the time now, people are no longer really talking about Mark Twain being great. Why? Because he continued to perpetuate problematic and racist ideas as a white author. Right? Yes, he might have been writing in something like The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn about a slave being taken away from captivity. But you know what? It was still problematic because he was adhering to stereotypes that now we look at it and go, oh, God, that's awful. And a white dude's writing this? Good. Consign it to time. Consign it to time. The same with these six books from Dr. Seuss. This isn't cancellation. It's just the natural order of things. You are smiling over there like you got a stick up your ass. What's happening?
I sent you a message in Discord, bro. Just check it out.
You sent me a message in Discord? This guy sent me a message. This is the part. Give me 1 second.
This is the part of the show.
This guy sent me a message in Discord, and I got to check it out.
Why don't you read it out loud for the whole audience to hear?
Oh. This guy's really got to pee.
I really got to pee.
Would you like to go, and I'll continue talking about this?
Sure. That sounds great, man. Okay. I appreciate
go
it.
Go urinate.
I'm
go
sorry. Urinate. It just ran that, Rita's ran right through me. This is
I'll
not
do
a commercial
my, I'll do
for
my,
Rita's.
I'll do my best. I'll do my best dead radio guy while you're gone.
Oh, is that Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah, I'll do my best. Just saying that I'll opine about something that most people probably don't care about.
Bro, thanks a lot. Continue. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
You're a good man. I'll be right back. I'm leave. Everyone is here to listen to you anyway, so I will leave them in your loving, capable arms and dulcet tones.
Ladies and
gentlemen, here is Rants with the Solo Quarantine Book Club.
Thank you.
I
get out of here. So yeah, that's the thing I think that's important to take away from this is not the censorship that people on the right are going to be complaining about. This is absolutely the tendency of books of a designated canon to adhere to tenets of the time. That's it. Popularity, books that are popular, they move out in ebbs and flows in culture. This has literally always been the case because literature, for those who might not think it, literature is reflective of society, history, and also economy, right? It is this nice little controlled, oftentimes controlled by people with money, this little controlled atmosphere, this little controlled world. And books are driven out of the public conscience, and others are brought into it. So now that this vacuum has opened up where Dr. Seuss's six books are leaving a hole, as people might think, and all of a sudden people out there are like, Dr. Seuss was my favorite, and they're reading these books on YouTube with their little Trump hats on. This is the Seuss Enterprises pruning their own branches and going, look, this is our contribution that we're making now to our history. Understanding that in 2021, we need to be demonstrating a more inclusive world. And this is what they're doing. Like, it's not canceling at all. So if you're out there and you're right-leaning and you're still listening to this somehow, shut the fuck up. Just shut up. Nobody gives a crap if you loved Dr. Seuss when you were a kid. Nobody gives a flying butt explosion. Speaking of butt explosions, here's Bob. He's back.
Hi.
He comes on back just in time.
All right.
As we talk about butt explosions.
Oh, nice.
Here's Bob.
I can't wait to not to hear this, whatever happened while I was gone.
Nothing happened.
I can't wait to hear it when I go to edit this episode.
Nothing special happened. I just went on a bit of a rant. That was
all. You and your friends have a good time while I was gone?
We had a great time.
Did you want mom to bring you some snacks?
Mommy, could you bring me some snacks, mommy? I want a Capri Sun and a bag of chips.
Would you like some mac and cheese?
I'd like some mac and no. I want a string cheese and a strawberry Capri Sun, tropical punch Capri Sun. Could I get an apple juice along with it too?
No, you can only pick one drink. You can't have a Capri Sun and an apple.
I want a Shasta grape soda. Can I have a Shasta grape soda, please?
Sure, sure. That sounds great.
Could I have a Shasta black cherry, please? Could I have a Dr. Seuss's racist, please?
Yes, you can have. Actually, no, you can't because they got rid of all of those.
But they were my favorite ones, says every right-wing fucking senator out there.
Ugh,
they were my. I'm going to go on YouTube and read them out loud now. Then there's nobody. There's fucking nobody out there in this world. Okay, let's also put this out there flat. There's nobody in the world who is going, fuck, my favorite Dr. Seuss book. Cat's Quiz or Popped Up Zebra.
Yeah,
is my favorite Dr. Seuss book.
Let me tell you about Mulberry Street. There's a reason I didn't get any other Dr. Seuss books, because fucking what I saw on Mulberry Street, real snoozer.
It was also his Titus Andronicus, too. It was his first book.
Was it really?
Yeah, yeah. And I actually was watching that it was not very well received. I wonder if that's because of its racist imagery.
No way.
Dude, I don't know about you, but McElligot's Pool is my favorite Dr. Seuss book, said no one ever. Like, that's the thing. These are minor contributions to his already somewhat minor contributions. Just like no one looks back, like you look at Hemingway, if we're going to talk about another white guy writer, right? We look at Hemingway and we're going, okay, The Sun Also Rises. But like, we're not looking at his little tiny garbage short stories and being like, oh my God, we have to save these two. No, you read The Sun Also Rises because you read it in high school if you even read that far, right?
The only fucking Hemingway I know is Banana Fish, and that shit's weird and uncomfortable.
Guess what? Guess what?
What?
It's not Hemingway.
That's not Hemingway?
Cool. Salinger. That's Salinger. J.D. Salinger.
Whatever. They're all the same.
That's why this isn't a loss. It's not a loss to lose Seuss, because this is... We can at least begin drawing and allowing modern artists and illustrators... and creators, storytellers, and preferably storytellers of color coming forward and speaking stories that still continue to speak to a wide audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, I don't know why we have to save these stories when, like, first of all, look, anybody can rhyme and draw silly. Oh, that's not true. Not anybody can rhyme. I can't fucking rhyme. But you know, a large amount of the populace can rhyme and draw silly pictures. So I don't look. Maybe the horse I've got in this race is really just the fact that I don't ever want to work on Seussical the Musical ever again. But aside from that, I don't think we need it.
But my Seussical.
Dude, look, hot take for fucking theater dorks out there. Seussical's not good. It's not good. It's dumb.
I knew this was going to come up.
It's stupid. It's a stupid collection of Seuss characters crammed into a not really even very convenient story. And
joke of
the
a
best
plot.
Part of the whole show is the end of Act One when the little kid blows the fuck up. But then we come back at the beginning of Act 2 and find out that he didn't actually blow up.
Maybe
it's all just a fucking fever dream. Who knows? Because it's Dr. Seuss, and there's no reality or fantasy in Dr. Seuss. It's all just a fucking miasma of garbage that's slapped together.
Well, and we were also... These books were more... We talk so much. People talk about it in school all the time. That kids 50 years ago and 100 years ago were smarter. No, they were simply forced to read things outside of their understanding. Mm-hmm. So don't come to me and tell me that your 8-year-old kid read the fucking Odyssey, because now we live in a place where there's so many other things that are enjoyable for them to consume. They don't have to read the fucking Odyssey at 8. Nope. They don't have to learn Latin at 8. And that doesn't make them dumb. It just means that they have other things to enjoy in their time.
How many of those 8-year-olds back then were learning computer coding? Like my 9-year-old stepson is right now.
Precisely. There are other applicable things they can and should be doing. Mm-hmm. And Seuss might have taught them the musicality of language and how good language and rhyme could sound. And maybe they had their own basic lessons. But in the end, none of these, while Seuss himself was a talented lyricist and author, and certainly witty and clever, he also clearly had problems. So it's not like a creator of color is sliding into this space and taking it from Dr. Seuss, right? There's always shelf space there. And that's the thing that people seem to fucking forget, mm-hmm. is that no one is taking – the only people that are actively taking up space from others look like you and me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
because that has been our habit for hundreds and thousands of years.
Not just taking up space that belongs to others, but taking things that were in like indigenous to others and calling them our own. You know what I mean? Yep. Like there's it's a tough pill to swallow when you are told that your society, your heritage, quote heritage, is really just based on things that you adopted from other people. Because let's face it, white people really don't have a racial heritage. Like, it's all stuff.
But my heritage!
No. You know, there's no... Are there any fucking ancient Romans left? Like, any of that? And even that's questionable. That, like, Roman society was their own. So, like, let's not... You know, don't... So, don't... Give somebody else.
Leave the shit in the past. Yeah. No one's learning shit from Seuss nowadays. Leave it in the past.
And let's
There's
talk
a reason.
About,
sorry. Let, I got the, really excited for a second.
No, that's fine. It's fine. The main point that I've wanted to make was simply that if you're mad about Dr. Seuss, quote, getting canceled, you're not mad because your child isn't going to get to read it. You're mad because your nostalgia's hurt. Your little nostalgia bone took a bruising. Guess what? Your fucking kids don't want to read Dr. Seuss. They don't care.
And like, nostalgia is poisonous anyway. You will never re-retrieve that. It will never come back.
No.
If you are sitting on that saddle of nostalgia for anything in your life, get rid of it. And that is hard for people to do. There's so many times where I'm like, man, I wish the summer evenings would come back the way I want them to. Mm-hmm. They can't. They fucking can't. Yep. Literally, they won't.
I wish that I could relive this again the way it was the first time. Well, no, you can't. That's literally impossible.
You know what happens when I crack a Nintendo game from storage and I put it in my Nintendo?
Get bored with it in like 2 minutes.
It sucks. Yeah. It sucks.
Mm-hmm. And I love retro gaming, but holy crap, you're right. Like, there's about 4 games on the NES that I can sit there and play for more than 5 minutes and before I go, that was fun.
And one of them isn't Super Mario Brothers. I have an article that I want to read to you that was put up. I can't believe the New York Times in all of their... Well, the New York Times is just fucking awful anyway. But, like, the New York Times posted an op-ed recently that is clearly from a right-leaning asshole that really, I think, encapsulates where we see – this isn't a bunch of left-wing rage that's caused this to happen. This is all seated in right-wing nostalgia rage. That's mm-hmm. all this is all seated in. And – the opinion article is called Do Liberals Care If Books Disappear?
If they're bad books, no. Spoiler alert.
No, not at all. Subheader, the Dr. Seuss cancellation illustrates all the problems that they used to have with censorship. For what, there's so much wrong with that right there from the get-go, because it's clear that this guy, from the very beginning of his bullshit op-ed, doesn't know where this began, which was in Camp Seuss, for Christ's sake. Also, there's a reason. There's a reason that Seuss Enterprises went on and continued on with the royalties for Dr. Seuss, for Seussical, that they had to extend themselves into Broadway, because Seuss isn't fucking making that much money. So he says here, from the, this right here, this Ross Douthat. I don't know. He starts. From the idealistic liberalism of my high school English teachers, I learned that I learned that to try to get rid of offensive literature is the great sin of easily triggered rubes. For one, the first sentence here is just bad. It's a bad sentence. I stumbled reading it. From the idealistic liberalism of my high school English teachers, I learned that to try to get rid of offensive literature is the great sin of easily triggered rubes. A special horror at banning books, which usually meant removing them from the curriculum in some rural school district, pervaded our libraries and classrooms. And a particular shame seemed to throb in my teachers' breasts when they admitted that some books were even targeted. The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, say, for misguided progressive reasons. This week, I learned from a different kind of liberalism that only easily triggered rubes care when offensive books are made to disappear. It was mildly creepy to hear that the custodians of Theodore Geisel's estate, Dr. Seuss Enterprises, consulted with a, quote, panel of experts and decided to cease publishing six Seuss titles because they, quote, portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. But it was much creepier that so few people nationally in the free expression business, so few liberal journalists and critics, seemed troubled by the move. Dude, get out of here. Like, literally get out of here. If you can't look at something and say, if their reason for removing it is because it portrays people in ways that are hurtful and wrong, and you're defending the opposite of that, you're fucking creepy.
You're a piece of shit. If you...
Yeah.
There's nothing... Okay. The statement that this shithead is making, where he's talking about easily triggered rubes... Okay, bro, let's talk about the fact that we're, as a society, attempting to better ourselves. We're attempting to, not hurt other human beings by our own actions. We're also attempting to...
Identify when those actions are harmful.
Yes, and there's nobody out there saying that they want to stomp on your freedom of speech and not let you say the things you want to, because frankly, we're letting you write this stupid fucking op-ed. I don't care that you wrote it. Like, I'm fine with you. I don't want that censored. Have your opinion. Fucking tell me about it. Tell me about how wrong I am that I think Dr. Seuss is a shithead and we don't need to read it anymore. But the fact that you don't understand when something is harmful to other people and that you wouldn't fight for another human being's right to not be hurt, is that's upsetting and disturbing to me. That's more upsetting and disturbing to me than telling someone they can't say words or that they can't print a book. Don't
I could almost yeah I'm sorry I'm
no, 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 you're fine, you're fine. No, go ahead.
My foot's asleep too. My foot's asleep. Give me a second. Ooh, give me a second. Give me a second. My foot's asleep. God, it hurts. It hurts like suffer. Fucking lava. It's like pain.
Suffer!
It's like suffer!
Is it like reading a Dr. Seuss book? Is it like all these right-wing assholes coming to you and telling you?
These liberal tears.
Are you crying like a little triggered baby? Oh, you rube.
These liberal tears are fucking hurting me. Oh, God.
Okay.
I laugh at your pain. You know why? Because I believe that other people should be allowed to be hurt. Okay? It's my right to let other people get hurt and to laugh at when other people are hurting.
Also, if you're hurt by this, let's adhere to the age-old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, says the white guy who's actually never had any kind of language turned against him in a hurtful way. I mean, what?
Dude, let's...
You know what? I'm sorry, I interrupted you with my pain.
I don't even remember. It's fine. I don't even remember what it was. It's repeating the same point over and over again. Because I don't know how many times I can say to someone, I don't believe in censorship. What I believe in is controlling my own voice when I say something that might be harmful to another human being.
That right there is the crux of it, Bob. Is that none of this is censorship. When someone is quote unquote canceled, that is not censorship, right? That's what these guys are crying about. Mm-hmm. That is the castration of the hopeful castration of power of someone who has done a shitty thing. What do these things require? They certainly require circularity. We have to look back on them and question, okay, are people on social media making a knee-jerk reaction? And if what is the context? Let's ensure that the context of this cancellation is true. Yes, we are responsible for having that, but cancel the fuck out of people, right? Like, let's make people accountable for their words. And this is Seuss Enterprises saying, you know what? As the curators of Dr. Seuss's estate and his catalog, we are responsible for his words, and we're doing our best to remove the ones that are problematic. Not censorship, not cancellation.
I don't understand what's so wrong about looking at a person saying, that person said a terrible thing, and then going, oh, you know what? That's not the type of behavior that we, as a civilized society, would like to see. What's so wrong with that? What's so wrong with looking like at assholes like our former president shithead and saying, oh, you're a piece of shit who thinks that other human beings suffering is fine as long as it doesn't affect you? Fuck off, man. I can't believe that half of our country voted for that piece of shit, because that's the mindset right now that I don't get. That's why the left wing and right wing. It's always this argument between left wing and right wing. Because
why wing bam?
Well,
bang.
Left wing and white wing. Like the people on the left wing, our side of it, we believe in the idea that human beings should have basic human rights and that their basic human needs should be met. Where it seems like people on the other side are just like, does it affect me? Well, then I don't fucking care. I want all my people that look like me to be in the same place.
I want my guns. I want my taxation without representation.
I want to see hot naked girls on the back bumper sticker of my car.
I want truck nuts.
I want to fly a rebel flag on the back of my car.
I want my Gadsden flag, bitch. And I want to be able to say bitch to anybody.
I want to walk into a store without a mask over my face because you're impeding on my right to breathe.
I want to make sure the only language that you speak in my country is American.
I want you to know that if you're mixing white with black, well, then you should come back.
And if you're even thinking about mixing Miller High Life with that shitty tequila, then do that anyway, because I'm all about drinking irresponsibly.
Do you listen to that crap, which is just rap
plus a C? That's what rap is. It's crap without the C. If you listen to that, I don't want you dating my daughter because she can't make her own decisions in who she should have sexual and romantic relationships with except for me.
But if you listen to Cowboy Troy, that's A-okay with me because he looks different than me and I don't like that, but it's still country music.
I heard that Lil Nas X came out and said that he's gay, and I don't like that. Fuck.
After that one. God damn it, I fucking hate her. Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's what it like, sounds like to me all the time. It's relentless.
Yes, relentless is a nice word for it. And you know what? We are among those people who can escape that relentlessness.
Yes. No, right? I'm like, totally privileged.
Like, yeah, and that's the thing. That's what people need to recognize, is that people in our position need to identify our privilege and speak against it when we can be, right? Continuing to be anti-racist. And it is completely viable to continue to be anti-racist and work on the self, too. There is shit that I'm going to do in the future that I am going to be regretful of. It is not done with a hard heart. But my hope is that I will, A, be told about it if someone feels comfortable to tell me, and B, that I will damn well learn from it and continue on from that point. And again, that's what Seuss Enterprises is doing here. That's all they're doing. They're holding themselves accountable. And maybe they're in it for money. But you know what? Dump it.
Also,
it's done.
Guess what? You believe so much in free enterprise. You believe in the right of a person to make money. That's the American fucking dream. Well, guess what? That's what they're doing. They're actually protecting their right to make money. So you should be celebrating the choice that they're making.
And I like this statement. That's it's the header of a Guardian article. And I like that it says, Dr. Seuss books are being recalled, not canceled. And I think that's a nice way. That is a very proper way to put it. Yes, they're being recalled. They're no longer being. What do we do with cars that don't work anymore? We recall them. And if we can't fix them, we replace them.
Yeah.
And that's what's these things can't be fixed without destroying the with the quote unquote integrity of whatever art is there. You can't replace them. You can't modify them. Then be done with it. There's 45 mm-hmm. other books out there. Yep. 45 other books. Fuck it. If you care that much about Seuss, then go sit on a stick, spin around for a bit until the splinters drive themselves into your brain, and you're no longer a part of our fucking life. That's shit on your gravestone for you.
That sounds like a good plan.
Shit on your gravestone for you. I give no fucks anymore about Seuss. Man, I just don't. Who cares? No. Who cares?
That's what I'm saying. Who does care?
Like, who cares? I'm right there with you now.
What's important about it? What's literally important about it?
You convinced me. And I like
good.
It. Like,
I'm glad.
Like, there's a statement in here that says Giesel's stepdaughter, Lark Gray Diamond Cates, told New York Post there wasn't a racist bone in that man's body, but also said suspending publication of the Six Daughters was a wise decision. I think there's nobody that is saying Dr. Seuss was racist. But that doesn't mean that he did not benefit from or apply racist ideology in ideologies in his writing. I benefit from white supremacy every day. Mm-hmm. I don't like that truth, but I still benefit from it. And I benefit from it in ways that I don't realize. And I'm trying to fix that, but it doesn't. And I might not have a racist bone in my body, but that doesn't mean that I don't do shitty things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's being identified here.
Also, I mean, I think I've said he was racist. I don't care.
I mean,
he's dead. I don't care.
Don't care.
I hope that one day when I'm fucking dead and I'm in the ground or a pile of ashes on my fiance's mantelpiece, that somebody look at me and go, he's dead. I don't fucking care. I'll say whatever the fuck I want about him. Because you know what? That's your right as a human being to be able to say a thing about a dead person and not give a fuck. Why? Because you're not hurting them. Because hot take.
Rush Limbaugh sucked.
Yeah. Rush Limbaugh is a piece of shit. You know, Dr. Seuss, maybe he was racist. I don't fucking know. I don't care, because guess what? I don't care about him, because he's dead. I never knew him. And you know what? He didn't make an impact on my life. Sure, maybe he did great stuff. Maybe he wrote a bunch of kids' books. I don't know. Maybe he wrote a bunch of adult books. I don't know. I have a question for you.
For me?
Yeah, for you.
Oh, ask away. I'm here for your questions.
Do you want to play a game?
Oh, fuck yeah, I want to play a game. Are you serious? You got a game for me?
I created a quiz.
You created a quiz? A quiz just for me. Bob created a quiz. For you. Is this a quiz just for me?
This is a quiz just for you.
Is it for young men like me who might have a receding hairline and who have to take care of their bodies at an increasing rate?
This is a quiz for you, me, and all the little kitties out there that love both Dr. Seuss and Nazi ideology.
Oh, what? Why yep. Now are you talking about hell? In the 1940s, Dr. Seuss is flying onto the scene with every idea that you could possibly have. You see, if there's people that look different than him, he's going to put them in a book. If there's ideas that you want to approach that might be from the 1940s and you want to make sure you say, Hitler sucks and down with the Japanese, well, you see, Dr. Seuss is going to be your guy. And if you, like me, think that the Germans' brains don't work the same way as American brains, well, Dr. Seuss is the guy for you. Let me tell you. Do you agree with me that maybe Dr. Seuss is the voice of our generation and we have to preserve him at all costs?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
So this game is called the Dang it, now you blew my whole brain's blown up.
I just rolled off the tongue there. I'm really proud of that one.
Wow.
Can you help turn that into a clip, please?
Yes,
I can clip
yes.
it. I can learn the clip thing myself. I need to maybe promote a little more on the internet.
Clipping's not that hard, bro.
Okay, I need help learning how to do it. Let's play a game. I want to play a game. Not often do you get to play games for me, and I'm excited. This is a game for me.
Yeah, this game is called Seuss or Mein Kampf.
Oh!
So I have a series of quotes for you.
Jesus Christ!
And I need you to tell me whether the quote comes from Dr. Seuss or whether the quote comes from Adolf Hitler's manifesto, Mein Kampf.
I'm all for it. And all right, hit me up, baby. Hit me up.
All right. First one. From early youth, I endeavored to read books in the right way, and I was fortunate in having a good memory and intelligence to assist me. Is that Dr. Seuss talking about his career or Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf?
I'm going with Mein Kampf.
That is Mein Kampf. That is correct.
Thank you. You know, for a minute, I'm sweating. For a minute, I lingered in that place of fear. That I was wrong.
Yeah.
And I mean, see, that's the kind of feeling we should move into with our life is to go, am I wrong? If so, correct me.
Yep, absolutely.
Figure it out, white people. It's not hard.
It's not hard, but you know what is hard? This next quiz.
I'm ready.
Is this Dr. Seuss or Hitler? It's not about what it is, it's about what it can become.
Fuck you, by the way. Quotes out of context are the hardest shit. Fuck you. I'm going to go against my gut on this one, and I'm going to say that, too, is Hitler.
Nope, that is Dr.
Jesus.
Seuss.
Fuck. Really? Damn.
Dr. Seuss and Hitler, both with some quotes. Just some quotes. They're not interesting quotes. They're not great quotes. They're just some quotes.
Just some quotes. By the way, for any politicians who might be listening, I got a quick thing out there. If you're a politician listening to the Quarantine Book Club, please keep in mind that we are in no way endorsing the use of any quotes by Hitler to support our ideologies or thoughts or expressions. If you happen to be a politician who chooses to do this as one quote-unquote wonderful woman did recently, then go fuck yourself. Seriously, Hitler should never be used in any way to empower an idea.
No, Hitler is a monster. Hitler was a monster. The whole point of this terrible, sad joke that we're making right now is the fact
that... Is that Hitler was a monster.
Hitler was a monster, but also that you shouldn't maybe make judgment calls about whether or not somebody was a great person just because they wrote some kids' books.
Ah, Bringo, Bringo, Bringo. In fact... You're getting three dings for that one, baby.
Thanks. Are you ready for the next one?
I'm ready. I'm ready. Bring it on. I'm ready. I'm pumped. Sure.
Today, I shall behave as if this is the day I will be remembered.
Fuck you. How did you put this?
Dr. Seuss or known asshole Adolf Hitler?
I'm saying Doc. No. No. Fuck. I'm trying to game it. Mm-hmm. I want to go with Seuss, but I feel like legacy is ringing through this quote. And also, I've used Hitler three times and I've got to be right again at some point. So I'm going to say Hitler.
That is incorrect. That is
Jesus.
Dr.
Seuss. That
was Seuss.
Fuck. Fuck. Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you ready for this next one?
Indeed, indeed.
I'm gonna
bring him on.
Tell
baby.
Me whether this is.
I'm one for three right now. I'm one for three.
You are. You are. I'm keeping score. Is this famous child author, Dr. Seuss?
That's okay. Or, is he an author? Author, is he a child okay. and an
famous,
author, or
all of the above? Famous also, author of children's also, books. Famous dead Thank author you. Of children's books, Dr. Seuss, or famous dead maniac, Adolf Hitler.
Because the only phrase that I think of that has child in front of it is child predator. Like, I just, like child artist, or if you were an adult.
Famous child artist, Dr. Seuss, or famous child predator, Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, if there's a child as an adjective in front of what you are, right? Mm-hmm. And you're an adult, it's going to be followed up with predator.
Yes, yes.
Unless understood. You're a child clown, but then you're a child.
Yes, that, yeah, right, right. Sorry. Okay. Famous author of child stories, Dr. Seuss, or famous child predator, Adolf Hitler.
Okay, okay, okay.
Fooey, I say, and again, fooey.
If this isn't fucking Dr. Seuss and rip my own head off, this got to be Dr. Seuss.
This is Adolf Hitler. In Mein Kampf, said, phooey, I say, and again,
I don't,
phooey.
I'm looking this up. I don't fucking believe you. You've got to be kidding me. You've 100% got to be kidding me.
While you're looking that up, let's keep going.
Phooey, I... Jesus Christ! Quote by Adolf Hitler. Phooey, I say, and again, phooey. Wow, this is a complex game. I'm 1 for 4. Let's keep going. Fuck!
Only you can control your future.
I feel like every decision I'm making right now is wrong.
That's normal life.
Fuck. Going with Hitler.
That is Dr. Seuss.
Jesus Christ. Fucking serious?
I'm serious.
Man.
You ready again?
Man. God, how many of these you got?
I got about like 7 more.
Yes, okay, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready.
All right, we're going to fire
through
these.
I've still only gotten one right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Reading is not an end to itself, but a means to an end.
Reading is not an end to itself, but a means to an end.
Yes.
A Hitler.
That is a Hitler quote.
Oh, okay. Never want to say I'm excited about Hitler. excited that I was correct in my assessment of the circumstance.
The art of reading and studying consists in remembering the essentials and forgetting what is not essential.
Hitler.
That is Hitler.
Three You're out finally, of eight. Was that 3 out of 7 or 8?
3 out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 3 out of 7 so far. You're close to pushing to 50%.
3 out of 7. That's so I'm I'm right, barely managing it. Okay, cool.
All right, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Why fit in when you were born to stand out?
Oh, God, this is a hard one. Fuck. Why fit in when you were born? Seuss.
That is Seuss. That is correct.
Shoo! Awesome. Okay, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. All
right. Is this next quote Dr. Seuss or terrible, terrible monster Adolf Hitler?
Okay. Okay, ready. I'm ready.
He who makes a beast out of himself gets rid of the pain of being a man.
Oh, my God. Okay, this is Seuss.
And that is Seuss.
Yes, so there's only a reason why I know that.
Okay.
There's only one reason why I know that.
Okay.
Okay. So, because I don't hear it in Seuss, I hear it in M. Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold.
Oh, my God.
In the beginning of Bat Country, in that song,
yeah,
he says it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can literally hear him, and like in
I
the song,
it.
Sing
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Listen to the song. He says it like in this, you know, M. Shadows, where he's doing the thing where like where he's not like singing loud, and he's like really close to the mic. Because he makes a beast out of himself. Makes what is it? He who makes a beast out of himself gets rid of the pain of being a man.
Yes.
Yeah, he's like close to the mic, and it's like he who makes a beast out of himself gets rid of the pain of being a man. And I thought to myself, no motherfucker's quoting Hitler in his songs. So it's got to be Seuss. But weird that it's Seuss.
Yeah, weird that Avenged Sevenfold is quoting Dr. Seuss.
Could Seuss have quoted that from elsewhere?
I don't know. I found it on a page of Dr. Seuss quotes.
I'm looking this up. He who makes a beast of himself gets rid of the pain of being a man. Wait. Interesting.
Is it Hitler and Dr. Seuss quoted Hitler?
No. It is Samuel Johnson, who was an 18th century author.
Well, then we should take this one off. No.
No, I presume because here's the thing. Here's why we're seeing circularity. Bat Country, the song by Avenged Sevenfold, is based on Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, written by Hunter S. Thompson.
That is correct.
Who is quoting that? But also, I presume that in any circumstance, Dr. Seuss could have co-opted and quoted that on his own. So,
also,
I mean, you know, quotes are absorbed by everybody.
Little known fact, Dr. Seuss was a really big fan of Hunter S. Thompson's writing.
Was he?
No, I don't know. I just made that up.
I was about to say, I thought he was a really big fan of Mescaline.
He probably was. Dr. Seuss was like, oh, yeah. Dr. Seuss was probably out there doing fucking poppers.
Who takes poppers gets rid of the pain of being a Seuss. I like how all of a sudden he sounds like a bargain basement Randy Savage.
Yeah. I thought you were gonna say Randy Orton. I was like, I don't think Randy Orton sounds like
that. Yeah.
All right, are you ready?
Randy Orton dead?
What? No, Randy Orton's still alive.
He's still alive. Okay. He's got
still
tattoos,
alive in wrestling.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Did he get the tattoos removed because they're representative of a time that he didn't want to?
Yeah, he's got his
see
former girlfriend's name tattooed on him.
Sharon.
Uh-huh.
Do muscles and I'm Sharon. Sharon never says die.
I'm Sharon what right everything on is muscle. On my body. Oh, man.
Can you get it covered up with Black Flag tattoo, or is that?
Should I get a Black Flag tattoo, or?
Can I? It's on my muscle. Okay, go for it. Let's continue.
All right, we only got three
for
more
all
questions.
All our friends hate us.
I hate us. And our friends should hate us too, because mm-hmm. we're pieces of shit. Sometimes the questions are complicated and the answers are simple. Obstacles do not exist. Oh, wait. Sorry. I just smashed two together. I have four left. Let me try this again. For everyone playing at home, sorry. Let me back it up and start this question over again.
Okay.
Also, I hope you are playing along at home. Let us know how you like this game. You can leave us a comment by emailing us at our website, and our website is www.thequarantinebookclub.com.
With new things.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's fine, though, after next week when we actually, you know, read the book.
Yeah.
Sometimes the questions are complicated and the answers are simple.
That's Seuss.
That is Seuss.
Good
that
job.
That seems like a very Seuss thing to say. I like that. I like that. Hopefully that doesn't get canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Today.
Sorry.
Today is your day.
Sorry.
Today is your day.
So can I? Can I use?
Today is your day.
Today's
your
day to do the you have to, mountains.
I quit. Hitler okay, said that right before he ate a cyanide pill.
Jesus Christ.
I quit, said Dr. Wait, Seuss right before he ate a cyanide pill. I quit, said Tom Cruise right before he blew up Hitler's bunker.
That's in any. And he did so with an American accent.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. I quit, said Rush Limbaugh right before he died.
Right before cancer took him. Jesus, cancer isn't funny, but it certainly did a favor for us there.
I quit.
Jesus Christ, Rance, I quit this podcast.
I quit, said Larry Correa right before he started talking about whatever convention we talked about last week.
I quit, says Larry Correa, right before he never challenges me back to a fist fight.
I quit, said Donald Trump, right before he gave the flag a bunch of kisses and held it and called it Papa.
God, fuck, man. Okay, so let's see. Let's jump back on the wagon for next week. So,
do you want to finish this one? Do you want to finish this one?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. I thought we were done. I thought you quit.
No, I was joking. I did quit. No, I quit. No more game.
No. Oh. You sure?
Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting.
Hitler.
What?
Hitler.
Nope. That's not
really?
Dr. Seuss.
That's Seuss?
That's Dr. Seuss. Okay. Wait, when I said sometimes the questions are complicated and the answers are simple, did you get that right or
Seuss.
Wrong? That was Seuss. You did get that correct. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Obstacles do not exist to be surrendered to, but only to be broken.
Oh, that's 100% Hitler.
That is Hitler.
If that was Seuss, I'd say this guy right now is really bringing his 1940s wartime racism to the table.
The only preventative measure one can take is to live irregularly.
That's a weird quote, and I'm hoping that's Seuss.
That is Adolf Hitler.
Jesus,
known genocider and monster who is rotting in proverbial and hopefully literal hell.
Fuck, man, that's nuts. That's
so
damn irregular. Did he talk about bowel movements?
I don't know. Irregular. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13. You got 7 out of 13. You just barely broke 50%.
Damn.
In the world of academics, what do they call that, my teacher
failing?
Friend? They call that failing. You failed.
Yeah, I would have gotten a straight E for not excellent.
Mm. I'm proud of you, though, for sticking with it, not getting mad like you. I do at your games.
No, I ain't getting mad. I ain't getting mad. You know why? You know why? Here's why I'm not getting mad. Because I already got mad. Because I stay mad.
Is that how you keep from turning into the Hulk?
I stay mad or whatever.
I'm always mad, bro.
I watched Thor Ragnarok recently.
Did you laugh at it or did you go, this is not really
It's great.
That good?
No, it's great. It's great.
Okay.
But Jeff Goldblum is a real treasure in that movie. Mm. Real treasure. Just
Jeff
absolute
Goldblum's
treasure.
A real treasure in general.
Just absolute treasure. Mm-hmm. Like that movie would have been, it was great. But it would have been less great if you weren't in it.
Oh, if it wasn't for Jeff Goldblum. And I don't know what her name is, but the woman who is his head, like, security guard.
Yes.
Unsung hero of that movie. Just her playing off of Jeff Goldblum the whole time.
That straight-faced, like, just...
Because I would have been laughing my ass off the whole time, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. And you know for a fact that that guy improvised half of that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was just going. He was just riffing, and they were just rolling.
Wanted to melt him.
Jeff Goldblum, man, what a treasure!
Jeff Goldblum,
fucking treasure.
Rest in peace, Jeff Goldblum. I love him.
rest. R.I.P. Jeff Goldblum. Maybe I'll try to get that hashtag trending this week. R.I.P. Jeff Goldblum. Wait, no, I can't do that. I can't really do that because Jeff Goldblum's too great. And
because he's a person who would die that people would care about.
And it's, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yep.
Well, so what do we got? So let's, it's 1 hour, 30 minutes in.
Yes.
So let's talk about where we're going. It's time to call it a night.
Yeah. Next week we're doing, we're going to actually, and we mean next week. Correct?
Next week.
You're talking about 1 week from today, not 2 weeks.
1 week from today.
That will be a very special episode where, I guess this is the special episode where we're going to talk about.
Very, very special episode.
Mm-hmm. It's a very, very special
episode. If you have a load of sadness on your shoulders, it will stay there like a boulder. I am Dr. Seuss, and this is me letting my words loose like diarrhea from my butt. But you gotta watch out and not shut up your mouth because you're gonna say and do a racism. That was my poem called Dr. Seuss by me.
You should retitle it or at least give it a sub, like a subtitle. It's Dr. Seuss. Don't.
It's called, and I saw it on Mulberry Avenue. I saw it on Zebra World. I saw it on the quiz, on the cat's quiz.
Yes, the cat's quiz.
Next week, look, we will actually talk. We'll actually talk about
Kings, the Aleron
Kongs,
the Land,
Book One, Chaos Seeds, The Founding.
Can we talk about Aleron? Can we talk about how many colons did you use in that title, my man?
I mean, they're all relevant now that I've read the book.
You're right.
But they're actually relevant.
How many colons did you use in that title? Because I ain't got to be honest with you, man. I don't know what to call your book.
Look, I just need you to
know
that.
I don't know what to call your book, dude. I just don't know what to call it.
Aleron, I need you to do me a favor, though, bro. I need you to not constantly just be referring to yourself as the father of Lit RPG. Because it is in both the intro and the outro of your book, and I can't. I'm like, I can't take it seriously. I'm the father of Lit RPG. That's my son's name, by the way, Lit RPG. Do you love my son? I love my son. I'm proud of my son, Lit RPG.
My son, we call him Lit for short. I call him RPG for short. I call him Lit. I call him
Lit or Big. He's Lit.
So we're going to read the Shattering Book 2, Found It on Mulberry Street.
I already
found
it.
The Zebra's Outing.
I found it. I finished it. I'm done.
The Zebra's Quiz.
Spoiler alert, it's a book.
It is a book that we can read.
It is a book that you can read. You can listen to it on Audible. You can check it out. I think I might just make the description of this week's episode all relating to that book, and then when we get into it, like people start listening to it, they're like, this is not the episode. And the next week the title will just be called, haha, gotcha.
It'll be called Psych! Psych. All right,
it'll
so let's do that.
Lit
so what do you,
RPG, what? The Foundling, 1, 2, 3, Mulberry.
What do you got going on this week? What's special for you? What do you want to promote?
I don't want to promote anything except this podcast and our website, www.thequarantinebookclub.com. Remember to add the. You can find me on Twitter at SpaceFunkyBOB. Where can they find you on Twitter?
I am Twitter at @ViolenceObscene. I tweet sometimes. I do the tweeting.
I reply to tweets.
There. This guy replies to tweets sometimes. I retweet. You can also find us at The Quarantine Book Club on Twitter. It's at the QBC Podcast. So make sure to follow us there.
That'd be really cool.
Follow us there. I'm on there pretty frequently. And also I'm going to reach out here. I'm going to start saying this too. If you happen to be listening to this and you have a book that you would like us to read, as long as you are willing to allow us to have no holds barred opportunity to talk about that book, or maybe you'd like to come on and talk about the book with us, go for it. Why the hell not? Let's do it.
Look, I promise you that I won't list your quotes in a quiz versus Adolf Hitler quotes. So
that's true. That's true.
That's a bonus.
I may need to confirm that you are not MRA, but
that is true. Dr. Seuss, I'm going to need you, dear Dr. Seuss, I'm going to need you to write me an email
confirm to me that you're not a men's rights activist. Otherwise, we're going to have to cancel you.
He can't do it. He can't do it. He can't
well,
do it.
He's going to get canceled then. I guess all these easily triggered snowflake.
These rubes.
Rubes are going to have to cancel you, Seuss.
Yep.
Hey, do you want to find us on Instagram?
Find us there.
Yeah, it's at the Quarantine Book Club Podcast.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Hey, what else did you have to talk about? Didn't you have a podcast you wanted to?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Why well, I got my other podcast, Frags Per Second FPS, with my friend Dan from Discography Discussion. So make sure to check them out too. He is going hard, going strong. It's a great podcast. Recently, actually, I thought you might find this interesting. Recently, they did. They listened to the entire discography of KMFDM.
Why didn't they call me up?
Well,
is it maybe because Dan doesn't know me?
No. I told Dan. I was like, Dan, why would you do that to yourself? Seriously, because for every good KMFDM song, there's two bad ones. And I say that as someone who loves KMFDM. And he was like, it was a real fucking struggle.
Look, as a guy who is a huge, huge KMFDM fan, and can say to you right now that just like we did when they put out their last album, we needed it a couple years ago, we need a new KMFDM album, like, right now. Like, just get out there. They say what needs to be said, and it's a way for me to just put some anger out there into something that's not just sitting in my house seething every day. So yeah. If you're listening to us, KMFDM, please write another album just for Rance and I,
just for me, for us.
Just to show up to my house, play me a couple of songs. But
the QBC and KMFDM doing it again, a treat for the freaks. Truth just or dare.
Only old school and non-Lucia songs, because I only like the ones where Sasha's not really singing, just talking. I don't like songs with actual singing in them, okay? Only talking.
This has been the Quarantine Book Club. I'm Rance.
I'm Bob. Hey, friends,
and
remember...
I guess we'll see you next week.
Stay safe and do the work. Be kind to each other.